Radio Prague News.
The government agrees its Rome EU summit stance. Škoda Auto profits soar, and Czech footballers prepare for a World Cup qualifier. The government on Wednesday agreed Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's mandate for the informal EU summit taking place in Rome at the weekend. The two main themes for the Czech Premier will be unity and security, according to the government programme. The Rome meeting is meant to mark the 60th anniversary of the founding treaty of what was to develop into the EU, but the main focus will probably be on discussions over the future direction of the trading and political bloc. Prague, along with its Visegrad regional bloc partners, is opposing the further development of what could be a multi-speed European Union. Škoda Auto, the biggest car maker in the Czech Republic, said 2016 net profit climbed by 34% to 25.7 billion crowns. Company turnover for last year was around 10% higher at 370 billion crowns. The car maker delivered 1.127 million cars in 2016. More than a quarter of those were destined for China, where deliveries totaled 317,000 cars. The non-profit organisations People in Need and Transparency International have made what they describe as a last-minute call for the Czech government to push through changes to the current system for debt collection through bailiffs. The changes would introduce a new system where regionally based bailiffs would deal with debtors. At the moment, different bailiffs from all over the country can deal with cases, escalating costs and creating many more complications in a flawed debt collection system, according to the two groups. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek will take part Wednesday in international talks in the United States focusing on the fight against so-called Islamic State and plans for the reconstruction of Iraq and Syria once the conflicts there have finished. Representatives from 68 states are expected to attend the two-day event hosted by the US State Department in Washington. And the Czech Republic's footballers are preparing for their first game of the year, a friendly against Lithuania in Ústí nad Labem on Wednesday night. The game precedes an away World Cup qualifier against San Marino on Sunday. The Czechs need to win all their remaining qualification games if they are to stand a realistic chance of coming second in their group, where Germany already dominate, and reach Russia next year. And finally, a look at the weather. The weather on Thursday will be cloudy with sunny spells, most likely in the east and south of the country. Top daytime temperatures will range between 11 and 17 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, just hours to go to the start of Prague's biggest film festival, Febiofest, and Czech football legend Pavel Nedvěd stamps his mark on Czech coins. Later on, Prague hosts a hackathon on how to improve city transport. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Febiofest, Prague's biggest film festival, gets rolling on Thursday night. Now in its 24th year, the event is bringing a number of noteworthy movie names to the Czech capital, and with several new sections this year, aims to satisfy both serious film fans and mainstream viewers. Ian Willoughby reports.
A trailer for Spore, the latest work by Polish director Agnieszka Holland. Set in the Polish-Czech border area, it will open the 24th edition of Febiofest at Prague's Municipal House on Thursday night, with Holland herself due to present the film. Also coming to this year's Febiofest are such names as Bad Lieutenant maker Abel Ferrara and the great Serbian director Emir Kusturica. But what makes Febiofest different from other film festivals? That's a question I put to Michal Hoganauer, one of its two new artistic directors.
In Czech Republic, there is so many film festivals. Like, every embassy has own film festivals, especially in autumn. There, like, every week there is something. But we are like the main city festival, so we are trying to cover the, let's say, last year or half of the year, because before us is Karlovy Vary, Our concept was to show mainstream films in one section and art house films in another section.
Alongside Fabio Fest's main New Europe competition, which centres on emerging directors, the festival has several new categories this year. These include music section Hi-Fi Ducks, the cult-oriented Night Circus, and Masters, showcasing works by the likes of Andrzej Wajda and Werner Herzog. Co-artistic director Anna Kopecka explains the idea behind Masters.
We thought that when we are having a big special competition for first and second features, we should also show some films from directors that are already well known, that are successful, that are acclaimed by the critics. We have Ang Lee, Billy's Long Way Home. I'm not sure if the title is right because the Czech title is completely different. We also have a special guest, Emir Kusturica, who will present his new film, and we are trying to show that even people who are already known and they have like their style is already very specific, they can surprise you and can show you maybe sometimes even something newer than young directors.
Cinephiles can interact with a number of guests at free public talks. And Anna Kopecka says that she's particularly looking forward to Peter Suchitsky, whom she describes as one of the world's top 10 DOPs.
One of my favorite director of all time is David Cronenberg. And Peter Suchitsky is working with David Cronenberg since Naked Lunch. He's making all of his films, and I think it's really his eye and his vision is really vital for films on David Cronenberg. But also he made other films. For example, he made the Episode 5 Star Wars, Imperium Strikes Back. He also made the really great Tale of Tales or Mars Attacks.
Fabio Fest runs in Prague until Thursday next week before carrying on in reduced form at 13 other Czech cities and towns.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Moving on now, Pavel Nedvěd, former Czech national football team captain and the best footballer of his generation, has appeared on a special set of coins celebrating Czech football legends. Issued by the Czech Mint in Jablonec nad Nisou, the series already features 10 legendary Czech and Czechoslovak footballers, including Antonín Panenka and Josef Masopust. Part of the proceeds from their sale is used to support retired football nationals. Ruth Frankova has the story.
At a ceremony at the Czech Mint in Jablonec nad Nisou on Tuesday, Pavel Nedvěd pressed the first gold coin featuring his face and signature on the reverse side. On the other side is the portrait of Queen Elizabeth II, who opened the World Cup at Wembley in 1996, where Pavel Nedvěd helped the Czech team to reach the final.
It is a strange feeling seeing yourself on a coin, but it is of course a great honour and it makes me very proud. As a kid I read books about Josef Masopust, Antonín Panenka, and I wanted to be like them. So I did what I could. I played football and now I'm standing here next to Antonín Panenka. It's fantastic that we can help the boys who played before us and couldn't make as much money as we could.
Forty-four-year-old Pavel Nedvěd is regarded as one of the most successful players to emerge from the Czech Republic. The local lad from near Cheb in the far west of the country made his name with Italian clubs Lazio and Juventus Turin, whom he led to the 2003 UEFA Champions League final. He also captained the national team at Euro 2004, which got into the semi-finals, and helped his team to qualify for the World Cup for the first time since the breakup of Czechoslovakia. Over his 19-year career, he received a number of awards, including the prize for the 2003 European Player of the Year. The series of coins commemorating Czech football legends was launched by the Czech Mint back in 2014. 10 coins have been issued to date, including goalkeeper Ivo Viktor, defenders Jan Lála, Karol Dobijáš and Miroslav Kadlec, midfielders Josef Masopust, Karel Poborský and Antonín Panenka, and strikers Josef Kadraba and Zdeněk Nehoda. The last player to complete the team will be Jan Koller. Part of the proceeds from the sale of the coins is used to support the Football International's foundation presided by Antonín Panenka.
Our goal is to help players from the older generation who represented the country at least once and didn't have the chance to provide for themselves. The foundation was established 16 years ago, and to date we have handed out over 18 million crowns to former players. The Czech Mint is one of our biggest partners, and to this date we got around 750,000 crowns from the sale of the coins.
The 200 gold coins featuring Pavel Nedvěd have already been sold out, and there are just a few available in silver.
Ruth Frankova there. Moving on now to our main feature today. Prague has just hosted a hackathon with global participation, with the target to brainstorm and come up with solutions for cities where getting from A to B can be a stressful and time-consuming process. Chris Johnson has more in this week's Marketplace.
Hackathons have apparently been around for quite a while, but as not one of the most plugged-in people, I will allow Tomáš Studenik, the organiser of this event in Prague, to explain what they are about.
Hackathon is an event that lasts 24 or 48 hours non-stop. That's what we have here, and it's an event where IT specialists, coders, developers, designers come from around the world. They came here to spend the next 48 hours developing a functional prototype of a service or product or a new design that can improve transport in cities, so get cities rid of emissions, pollution and stress in transport in general. So we are now looking, it's a radical innovation method that's been around for some time, originating from the United States, and it rests on two or three premises. One, if you put together to a small space for a long time, lots of people, there'll be ideas at the end. And if those people come from different countries, different backgrounds, it's all for the better. I mean, again, you have a better chance of producing ideas that actually will work in the end.
The recent hackathon taking place over the last weekend set itself apart for its scale and the clear ambition to come up with answers which could be converted into ideas that could be used by cities with transport challenges such as Prague, or by the companies which are heavily involved in the development of so-called smart cities applications. Tomáš Studenik again.
It is the first time here. First of all, it's first time this scale is happening. Previously, we've had hackathons with 10, 20 people maximum. This is 60 people, and it's first time it's global. It's open to applications from around the world. We even cover their travel costs. We want to make them happy here and then produce some world-class work at the end.
And while there was some very strong home participation in the hackathon, the event and the generous prize money on offer also drew in an ample haul of international teams and contestants.
Well, they came for the €5,000 prize, main prize. No, I'm joking. They came here, really, that they want to see their ideas in practice and actually making cities better in the end. And they came from 13 countries, Europe, so Asia, not just from Central Europe, but from Italy, Spain, Germany, Russia. So it's really like a varied bunch of people that actually prefer working nonstop for 2 days to a relaxed weekend skiing or sunbathing somewhere. So I'm amazed.
But the 48-hour event was carefully planned with the aim of challenging the contestants to focus on real problems and use real data and technology already at their fingertips. The broad overall theme is encompassed by smart cities where digital and interactive applications help transport users to better choose their options, such as routes and times of travel, and also have users feeding real-time information into data networks so that advice and planning respond to traffic situations, which are changing every second. Just to give a bit of extra context, the Czech capital, like the rest of the country, has witnessed an explosion of personal car use over the past 25 years. Over the last year or two, the number of individual car journeys in the centre of Prague has actually started to flatline and go down for the simple reason that it's got so congested and difficult to park that it makes no sense to bring a car into the centre anymore. At the same time, though, car use on the outskirts of Prague is still rising. Public transport, and Prague has a well-respected and integrated mass transport system, has also been responding to the surge in urban transport demand. Mass transit numbers in Prague are up 17% over the last 10 years or so. There are now 1.3 billion journeys taken on Prague's trams, metro lines, buses and boats ferrying passengers across the Vltava River. But transport users are also changing. In many cases, they want convenience, are paying for tickets and easier connections and extra services, are unwilling to pay extra for that, what they demand. Anyway, in a nutshell, one of the main sponsors of the event, Prague City Council, among others, saw a real possibility that the hackathon would come up with some inspirational answers. Tomáš Studenek gave a lowdown on some of the corporate and business backers.
Well, first of all, it's the city of Prague, so it's the mayor, the town hall, because they really need to solve the issues. So they provided us with lots of data, with the space, with mentors. Then, of course, it's a large industrial companies, manufacturers. For example, Škoda is one of our sponsors. Mobile operators. Then we have software companies. It's like large industry leaders that really feel that that's the area of the future, also of business interest for them. If they come up with solutions that deal with public transport, that's about the most stressful problem cities face these ways, because more and more people still move into cities. Now, these days, I don't know, 60% of world population lives in cities. It's going to grow. And the cities were not built for that. It's just the planners, the designers are behind what's happening in the real world, and transport is where it clashes heads on. So it's really something that all the companies, even car manufacturers, feel that you cannot rely on cars. You just need to make cars sensible for the future, connecting them to infrastructure of the cities.
And now over to one of the contestants, Karolina Zofalova, part of a three-person team from the Czech Republic's second city, who were looking forward to coming up with ideas that would help tourists use Prague's public transport system. She explains.
I'm Karolina. I come from Brno. And I'm totally from different fields because I'm biochemist. And because my boyfriend is very interested in smart cities topic, so it was like just to have a good idea to take part in this competition, maybe to learn some new skills and try totally different kind of stuff what I normally do. And for me it's interesting maybe because we are not IT and this kind of people, so maybe we can have a little bit different point of view, some totally different ideas, and we are not going to do some application. We want to be more focused on some management and processes. For us, it's more about to get some new skills and try it, not like we are motivated to win, but it's not like for us that we want to enjoy it here, so yeah.
To help guide the contestants, there were a series of mentors on hand, many from the sponsoring companies, who could help them along and make sure they kept on track and took advantage of the data and technology being offered. Laurie Gaffney was one of those mentors and comes from a company offering applications for cars, updating them about traffic flows and options.
We're here to help the attendees surface their best ideas and support them in using the various data sets, data sources and technology platforms to bring forward really exciting and innovative solutions that can make a difference to smart transportation and smart city initiatives for the city of Prague. I'm the head of customer success for Mojio. Mojio is a T-Mobile partner enabling the Hitrioto connected car service.
And the outcome of the 48-hour marathon. Well, the winner was the Red Team from Prague's Czech Technical University. They came up with an idea that should help share out passengers on Prague's metro trains. Basically, technology measures how many passengers are in each carriage and directs passengers to the ones which have more capacity, basically more space on offer. The data can then be updated in real time along the metro route, saving time and hopefully offering a more comfortable trip to all. Prague's transport bosses have promised to look at the idea, and if they like it, they will run with it in the future. Other ideas that might get traction are train and metro windows that allow passengers to doodle and send messages, and an application that better establishes the availability of bikes for hire near public transport stops.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson has brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.